Good morning, it's Canada Day. Oh, every Friday at 10 a.m., I get to say hi to the thousands of people listening at 101.9 FM. You are, of course, tuned into your favorite morning show here in Vancouver. Vancouver, right? With me, Alex Biron, on 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. And, I mean, why would it stay sunny on Canada Day when it could just switch from the beautiful weather we'd had to a gray? It looks like that opening scene from Macbeth when they're doing evil Macbeth things. This is not great. We can never have a Halloween that's dry. We can never have God hates costumes and tattoos and gay marriage. No, gay people are great, but yeah, they do not like the tattoos. It's putting on a little, oh, my kid's going out on Canada Day, little tattoo on his face. No, it's going to get rained off. Content warning, this is a comedy show. I've been told I need to do that more. So if you're easily offended, well, listen and just try to open up a bit. No, turn it off. Who needs you? No, it's honestly, though, thank you so much for joining me here. I've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Going to be playing only Canadian music today and just having a real ball and a blast in your balls. It's going to be really, really fun. I had a good sleep, pretty good, had some weird dreams, woke up early, and I made it with time to spare, and I got some vegan banana bread and a coffee. I've quit coffee for about a month, and this is my first, like, real coffee drink in a month. So we're going to see what's going to happen here. I mean, why would I do it in a safe, relaxed place when I could have my first coffee on the air when everything's at stake? And if you ever want to chime in here during this... this 604-822-2487. If you want to comment, if you want to request a Canadian song I can play, maybe I'll play it. Or we just want to chat. You know, I mean, I'd love some company. It's very quiet here at UBC in the summer. I'm always amazed by how little, like, university is mostly things not happening. Summer is long. And it's like 4 or 5 months of nobody at UBC, and then, like, September and October are busy, and then everyone just kind of huddles up for the winter. And then January, February rolls around, and there's tests, and then it's summer again. It is amazing. But I'll tell you what, UBC has one of the most amazing composting systems I've ever seen. It's you go to UBC for a morning, and you think, wow, the human race is going to make it. We've got 4 different kinds of compost, 1 just for apples, 2 for coffee. They've got, you just pick apart your coffee cup piece by piece, and every single piece goes in a different receiver, container. I'm running out of words here. Okay, the coffee's kicking in, folks. Stage 1 complete. I'm hyperactive. But yeah, and you think, wow, we're recycling, things are looking good. I think we're going to make this. And then you go pretty much anywhere else, and you're like, oh, yeah, we're doomed. Stephen Hawking thinks we're doomed. Stephen Hawking thinks, and I quote, humans will not survive another 1,000 years due to the fragility of the planet. Now, he could be right, or he could just be a little, maybe he's in a bad mood because, I don't know if you heard, but I'm going to tell you right now, someone's stalking Stephen Hawking, stalking him around, and, she tried to kill him. He got death threats. It's kind of sad that whenever someone's in love with somebody and they're stalking them, it almost immediately turns to death threats. I don't know what that says about the human race, but I don't think it's good that it's like deep within my subconscious is the desire to, I love this person so much and I'm going to kill him. There's such a thin line, man, between love and hate. I don't know. Sometimes it's pretty thick, but I feel bad for Stephen Hawking. He probably dumbs it down for us. I mean, I just said probably like 4 times in a sentence, so that proves where I'm at. Although I actually have an IQ of 136, according to a test they gave me in grade 10. I think that that probably doomed me first because I was a disaster in school, just didn't study, total brat. And then they decided to give me this test because they're like, maybe he's high functioning. Maybe we're not challenging him enough. So they gave me this IQ test. I got to miss a day of school, which was great. And I got 136, which is like very high. Unfortunately, then I just thought I was better than everyone else and I studied even less. And, you know, you become a comedian and away you go. Speaking of comedy, you can... Oh, no, we don't need to get into plugs yet. We got to finish this Stephen Hawking story. And, now I'm getting anxious. Stage 2, coffee complete. But yeah, I mean, Stephen Hawking's is probably... He probably needs to dumb it down halfway just to communicate with us mental peasants. We're gallivanting around with our trendings and our Trump-Hillary debates. And he's just pondering the inner workings of black holes. I mean, can you imagine just explaining to him a stalk? Like, Stephen, we've got to go out the back exit. Why? Because there's this stalker that's been sending you death threats. You understand that I know the difference between time and fate and the... Oh, yeah, it's fine. We have to... See, I couldn't even improvise a Stephen Hawking sentence. That's how dumb I am. I said the difference between time and fate. What does that mean? What does that mean? Oh, I do not know. But if you want to hear more flubbed sentences like that, you can check me out at the Comedy Mix next Tuesday. Usually plug the guests' shows, too, but they're all... All busy because it's Canada Day. Nobody wanted to do the little radio show with Alex on Canada Day because they have so many things going on. Well, you know what? It's going to rain all day. Now, I had plans, too. I'm pretty bummed out as well. I wish we could control the weather. I was reading this Taoist text once, and apparently humans can control the weather. All right? Yeah. I'm not supposed to talk about this stuff, but apparently we can. I don't know if we're doing a great job controlling the weather. We need to. That joke probably needs more context. It's not really even a joke. Speaking of jokes, I saw Finding Dory. And I'm going to say give it a watch because there's not a lot of other movies in the theater right now. And Pixar's putting in good work. I'm going to say see Finding Dory just because of how good the opening short film is. It was really good. I almost cried in the opening short, which is like a 5-minute movie about a little bird trying to feed itself. And what is interesting about this opening short film is that, I mean, all the animals are cute in Pixar, and the animal is like picking and eating things, and now they're at a bit of a quandary here, because if the bird is eating little clams, and are we going to make those cute? Those are still animals, right? It's like, where do we draw the line between the animals that we're supposed to relate to and the ones that are just fodder for the plot, like food and enemies and whatnot? And this is a problem that Finding Dory runs into big time. Is that she'll have this friend in the aquarium, but this friend eats fish. So then they've got to feed fish to the whale. So now you've got some fish that talk and some fish that are fish food. And you've got all these bizarre themes about death and just that I think if you brought your kid to, they would be pretty disturbed already. I mean, there's a part in Finding Dory where they're trying to escape this tidal, like, touch pool at an aquarium, and they're swimming through, and the kids' hands are jamming through the top, and the kids are trying to touch, but they're, like, totally destroying all of these starfish, and the starfish are begging for their lives, and it looks like the opening scene from Saving Private Ryan on the beach, except with anemones and starfish and kids' hands instead of Germans. I mean, it's carnage. So are kids supposed to see this and go, okay, this is what's happening whenever I try to get to know nature? Am I just terrorizing them? There's this part where Dory falls into a bucket of fish that they're about to feed a whale, and all the little fish are like fish corpses because they're dead. I mean, this is rough stuff. This is disturbing stuff. I mean, it disturbed me, and I'm a grown man. That's a bit of a stretch. I'm a medium, emotionally mature man who got pretty disturbed. But here's what I'm getting at. Moviegoers at Brendan Concord Theater. Where is Concord? Ah, who cares? Somewhere in Canada. Complained because before Finding Dory, they accidentally screened the Sausage Party trailer. And there was furious anger rained down upon that theater's management because they showed Sausage Party. Now, okay, it's a trailer with a couple swears. I'll give you that. You know, this is Seth Rogen's new R-rated animated film about what happens to food after it leaves the grocery. You know, basically it's like all the food at the grocery store thinks they're going to some magical happy land, and then they get taken away and they all get destroyed and chewed up, and that's the main joke of that movie. And there's some swearing, of course. Now, oh my gosh, we can't show this to the kids. This is going to disturb them. Well, you know what? So is Finding Dory. That's what I'm getting at here. I mean, how a little taste of reality probably was good for these kids. What happens to the food after? We should respect food more. We're at a point now where we have this huge mental gap between what our food is and what happens to it. You go and you just buy a steak. The kids probably don't even think steak comes from a cow. It's just steak. So, oh no, now kids have a little bit understanding of the preciousness of food and the responsibility that comes. And the swearing, I mean, I've never thought, I don't think that kids actually learn swearing from hearing swearing. I think they hear it. Swear words just, they come out of the ether when your environment is poor. So that's out. I think it's good. And they don't know what the pot references are because they're cartoons, right? And they won't be smoking. And then, okay, you've got the sausages and the hot dog buns and the all obviously look at like human anatomy, but it's like, yeah, so you get a little bit of sex ed in there too. The Finding Dory stuff cuts deep. I mean, I'm still concerned about that. There's this part at the end where they do a joke with like the little fish gets eaten by the medium fish, which gets eaten by the big fish. Kids can't grapple with stuff like that. That is deep. That is brutal. There's this, I don't want to get into spoilers, but anyway, if you want to discuss that, feel free to call in. I'm looking at the numbertron right now. We've got like thousands of listeners. So, I mean, but I get it. It's Canada Day. You're busy. If you want to just listen to my smooth, silky voice, a baritone, I'm told, feel free to keep going. So anyway, I thought that was kind of weird. I think that kids can probably handle that trailer. But whatever. What else is going on? I'm lonely. I really should have booked someone for today because it is... being lonely on a gray day, I wonder if more suicides happen on a... Yeah, we're diving straight in. On a gray day or a sunny day. Because a sunny day, you kind of feel pressure to be happy. But you do feel happy, too. I don't know. Speaking of Canada Day, Canadian Classics cigarettes have released special edition packages. And, oh boy, the end. Can we just give them some? I mean, at this point, look at these cigarette cartons. And there's barely any carton left. It's I'm going to say, 80. It's 80% anti-cigarette PSA. On a carton of smokes. Now, okay, cigarettes are really bad. They're very bad for you. So I can understand having a PSA on there. That does make sense. But here's the thing. You're up to 80% for the cigarettes. What about a carton of donuts? Those little mini donuts that you can buy or those cheese danishes, you know, like the pastries you buy at 7-Eleven, those have got to be at least half as bad as cigarettes. So why do we have 80% of the packaging covered in anti-smoking? We should at least have like 30% of the packaging on donuts covered in anti-donuts. That's just fair. But no, it's because we get our knickers in a twist about a topic an issue, and then we become obsessed with it. This is insane. People understand what cigarettes are, and now they're it wouldn't be Canada Day without legions of red and white maple leaf flags being waved. But specifically branded cigarettes, this week, Rothmans, Benson & Hedges brought out a limited A-edition of its Canadian classics. Can we do a ban on all A wordplays in stories? That's been, ugh. And they're pissed. Here we have a tobacco company using the theme of Canadian pride and Canada Day to sell cigarettes. And that is wrong. I mean, if you're a smoker and you've been smoking Canadian classics for 10 years, then I think that is part of being a Canadian for you, you know, if it's your choice to smoke. I think that like you take a good hard look at what Stephen Hawking was saying about how we're dooming ourselves. This planet is fragile. We're overpopulated. We're at war with each other. We're not on the compost level of UBC in too many places. We need to toughen up a little bit. We need some emotional and mental toughness to get through this, because the biggest thing we need to do is not have kids. And I've tried suggesting that to some women I'm dating, and it is tough. There's a little magic leprechaun in their DNA that goes, "All right, you got to have some children." And you just feel that. And I feel it too. You got to have kids, but we got to not have kids. The only way we're going to get over this population bump is with smoking. No, it's by being tough enough to choose whether or not we smoke. And this is a bit much. Let them market it however they want. You took 80% of the real estate. Look at this package that I'm looking at here has a man with a hole in his throat. It says, "I wish I had never started smoking." And then it says, "I was diagnosed with cancer of the larynx when I was 48. I had to have my vocal cords removed, and now I breathe through a hole in my throat. Leroy." And then it has a big, "I need help to quit? Call this number." That's 80% of the packaging. Now, if you've gotten through all of that and a little special edition Canadian flag, Canadian classics is enough to make you smoke, then you deserve cancer. No, but you need to decide for yourself. Okay, we've had a lot of fun so far. We're going to be back soon. It is 10:20, and I've got so much more time with you guys. We're going to play some music. We're going to have a blast. Call in. Be back soon on 101.9.
You've been listening to CITR's UBC 100 Doc Series. We would like to thank the UBC Centennial Initiatives Fund, Peter Doolin, Emily Morgan, Shyla Seller, and Katie Harris for researching, digitizing, and cataloging our archived tape. Nardwar the Human Serviette for curating the collection. Thanks to Robert and Bronwyn at the UBC Library Digitization Center for partnering with us to digitize, launch, and host the audio collection, Irwin at the UBC University Archives. And to Madeline Taylor for organizing this project and supporting our documentary producers. For interviews with the producers, podcasts, and more information, visit our website, citr.ca.
Disguises, riotous hijinks, excessive fight scenes, plus a bit of music. Come see Acne Prone Productions' adaptation of The Ballad of Robin Hood, running this July 22nd through 25th on the Earthwise Gardens unique stage. Bring your sibling who loves playing Robin Hood, your aunt who loves theater, and invite the whole fam jam. You're not going to want to miss this show. Keep an eye on facebook.com/acneproneproductions for updates and ticket info.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition. Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
That was the Courtney's 90210. Called 90210, but shot exclusively at Third Beach, Vancouver, BC. Happy Canada Day. I went off on a bit of a rage there in the opening 20. Probably coming in a bit hot. You know, when a plane's landing, you go, he's coming in too fast. But we made it into the terminal and we're chilling here. I don't know what this analogy is. What am I talking about? But I'm happy to be here. I'll tell you something I'm not happy about. The rage is not going to get any less angry here, because you may have heard, if you were listening to that break, there was two little public service announcements in there asking you to please contact your local provider, sign the petition for free radio on your phone through the FM signal. Now, this is, excuse me for breathing into the mic, but this really grinds my gears, boils my blood. And I don't know if you know anything about gears, but boiling does not help. Smartphones have an FM chip inside them that allows you to listen to the radio. That's right. You know, radio, that medium that can be so wonderful, that I clearly love, but that struggles sometimes because, you know, there's other ways to get audio. You know what? There's an FM chip, so you don't need to use data. So you can listen to local radio like CITR, like CJSF, with, you know, uncensored, great music, great local comedians. It's amazing. And you don't need to use any data. So it's an alternative. It allows radio to... Oh, wait. No, but of course we can't do that, because the providers like Rogers and Shaw have so generously and compassionately turned off the FM chips so that we have to use data to make them more money. Now, I don't know if I could imagine anything more hateable than that. I don't know if bamboo torture is real, where you put, but if it is, I would love to put Mr. Shaw Dingle Dangle and just have those little shoots. Okay, man, that's extreme. But seriously, I mean, we should be able to use FM radio on our phones to listen to local radio without using data and to hear crucial information in times like of an earthquake, you know, or if there's someone missing and the cell towers are down. This is insane. So please, I'm sweating. My arm is broken from that rant. I'm putting in a lot of work because I want you to go to the CITR website, go to the free radio part, sign the petition, please, and call your local provider. And they're not legally allowed to get off the phone with you until your problem has been solved. You know how they always ask, anything else for you today? Anything? Just say, oh yeah, there is something else. My FM chip still isn't working. So I'd like to, and just keep asking to talk to their supervisor. And then when they go, okay, I need to go. Okay, would you like to fill out the survey, the form? Go yes. And make sure every single question on the form is answered with FM chip, FM chip, FM chip. Have I mentioned that phones have an FM chip? Okay, that's enough of that. But seriously, I mean, that needs to change. How you doing? How's your Canada Day going? I hope it's good. You know what are fantastic in the summer? Bikinis. Bikinis, of course, have always been an important part of... How about that segue? Oh, boy. of Miss Teen USA. But Miss Teen USA, they don't want to be seen as this, like, objectifying women thing anymore. So no more bikinis, because that fixes everything. I love that. This is insanity. The human race, if you just had an aerial view of the world, you would see people shooting each other, blowing up bombs, war. And then you would zoom in. Okay, what are they focusing on? How are they solving problems? No more special edition Canadian cigarettes, and no more bikinis in Miss Teen USA. There are simple things that we could do that would save so many lives. If we just legalized weed in a bunch of countries, if we just tighter restrictions on guns, looser extremist views when it comes to other people's religions. You know, maybe a little more care for the environment. We'd be good to go. But you know what? We need to legislature and petitions and picketing so that these teens don't have to wear bikinis anymore. Look, if you're going to have the Miss Teen USA, you're parading them up and down a catwalk and they're being judged. Okay, I don't care if they're, and they're going, now they're going to be wearing track pants. And your slow pitch, also making women do slow pitch. I mean, slow is in the, that's always seemed a little weird to me. But this is not any better. And you've got this is on Fox News that I'm reading this story on. Yay, Miss Teen USA, no more bikinis. And then if you scroll down, they've got all their sponsored stories. And it's all top 10 fattest celebrities, most disgusting pigs. Who's gained them? You know, it's, well, you want women to feel better about their bodies? Stop sponsoring TMZ's ugliest beach bods of the summer articles, okay? It's just, you're going around in circles forever. Wait till you see what Precious looks like now. She's even bigger. This is, okay, look at this. Look at this. The first story underneath the Miss USA yay no more bikini stories is, and it, soldier cannot believe wife's amazing transformation. It's a story about a woman having to lose a bunch of weight to please her husband. That's the first sponsored story. It's huge. There's a still to click on it. I mean, I think we're screwed. I think Hawking's not dumbing it down. We're out. I just hope we get spaghettified into one of those wormholes. Black hole? It's a black hole, isn't it? Ugh, black hole. The spaghetti thing is so bad. You're broken in half over and over again. Oh, spaghettification. I need a vacation. Guys, I've been doing this show for a long time. Every week. And man, it's tough. Like, one week I'd just love to come in and open the news and look at what I'm going to talk about, and it was some feel-good stories. Guess what? They caught so many puppies this afternoon. But it's always the forest is getting cut down. Pedophiles finding it easier than ever. This is brutal. I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about this stuff in the morning. If you want something more cheerful, just flip right over to Virgin Radio, and you'll hear their Happy Canada Day countdown of the top 10 maple syrup treats. And you can literally sugarcoat your life with sickle conversation. It's okay, I might be coming across a little bit bitter here. Let's get it back in the pipeline. Comedy-wise, because we're supposed to do comedy updates on this show. Yeah, this is supposed to be about, well, it's okay, we're mixing up the format. But this is a great town to be alive in if you love comedy. And please go to a comedy show. Go to the Comedy Mix or Yuck Yucks. Like I said, I'll be at the Comedy Mix next Tuesday. Do a little spot there. The Yuck Off is going on. I will be in the semifinals of the Yuck Off at Yuck Yucks soon. Every Thursday, they've been sold out. Go down. I'm telling you, that's a great night of comedy because for only like 10 bucks, you get to go in the audience. You get to see 13 comics compete for the very prestigious and important Yuck Off championship prize. First, what am I saying that right? If you win the Yuck Off, I mean, you get headliner spots. You get a bunch of money. It's just, it's crazy. So these guys are all, and yes, it's round one. So you're going to see like three or four duds. But I got to be honest, when the stakes are high and Yuck Yucks is sold out, watching somebody completely crap the bed and bomb is kind of entertaining. It is. It's fun. So you're going to see a couple duds, some, whoo boy, he should quit comedies. And then you're going to see some awesome comics, and you're going to talk to your friend. And you get, it's audience vote for the first round. So then you get to choose people's fate, like a modern age gladiator situation. Your thumbs up, thumbs down. And then you get to see the big reveal at the end, who went first, second, or third. And they throw a little headliner in there. And I really need to cut my caffeine intake in half. This is intense. Wow. I think when you're bipolar, probably you're more sensitive to things. Because my emotional mood switches, you know, it's like I can get depressed, I can get manic, and it is, wow, I'll tell you, by the way, being manic, because of my mania, I have days where I feel like myself, and then I have, you know, days where my personality completely changes. Like, I remember one day where I just went into the woods and ate pudding all day and hid from my family and friends. But I also had days where my personality changed. Woo! Sometimes we just tell a joke. Anyway, if you like jokes, yuck off. And there's also a big competition happening at Laughlines. By the way, okay. I do get booked at Laughlines, so I don't tell the booker or manager, but Laughlines has the most bizarre mural right now. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to the Columbia Theater in New West where Laughlines happens. I mean, it's a great time, great comedy show, highly recommend it. But the decor in there, I mean, it looks like a bigger version of the room that Pesci gets shot in at the end of Goodfellas. It looks like a mafia hit room. And they just put in, they're like, okay, we need to breathe some life into this place and spruce it up. Okay, you're not going to spruce it up unless you have like $1 million for a complete renovation. This is the mistake. If you have something that's tacky and old for a comedy club, just leave it like that. Don't try to do a quick fix, because then you're going to turn it into a Frankenstein creation. And now Laughlines has this big coral-colored city skyscape mural that's like a fold-out that they put on the stage. So now you've got 95% mafia hit room, 5% bright, obnoxious mural. I mean, they don't go together at all. At all. It would be like if Pesci, the last thing he saw was Jackson Pollock sprucing. I don't know what this analogy is. That's three horrendous analogies so far, but kind of strange there. Don't quite understand the thinking. But I've got a great little piece of news to get into when we get back. It's for this show and for CITR. This is one of the most excited things I've been about for. I've never been more excited than for something this is. This is a good thing. So stay tuned, and I'll let you know what it is. And we'll have some more Canadian music, and we'll get into some news and have more great times on 101.9 when we return.
News broke that Teo Dezo wasn't going to be playing in this game.
He's growing sport, and to do it on a university campus with an educational message behind it.
They'll be facing off against all the big teams from all the other conferences and the nationals.
Want to be a CITR sports broadcaster? Looking for a cool way to get involved in UBC sports? Then email sports101@citr.ca or come by our station in the Nest to find out more. See you soon.
Would you like to get updates on your smartphone in an emergency, even if a cell tower is down? It is possible if the FM chip is activated in your phone. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
The spice extends life. The spice expands consciousness. The spice is vital to space travel.
The Spice of Life is CITR's weirdest post-rock-based show. We play post-rock and talk about whatever stuff is on my mind. Guests include my mom, George Takei Soundboard, Steven, author of The Heaviest Cat, and any of my friends that couldn't find something better to do. Tune into my mom's favorite radio show, The Spice of Life, from 8 to 9 p.m. alternating Thursdays on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
How do you listen to CITR? Do you stream it with your data? You could be getting it free on your phone with the already installed FM receiver chip, but major carriers have blocked access to it. If you want access to all your favorite CITR goodness on your phone, get involved. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
chasing cocaine through the back rooms of the world all night. Wasting your days chasing some girls, all right, chasing cocaine through the back rooms of the world all night.
Welcome back to Vancouverite. I mentioned that I had some special news. I'll get into that in a second. You were just listening to a wonderful song by local band Destroyer called Kaput. So that's two great Canadian artists so far, the Courtneys and Destroyer. And as our little bed here, we've got Boards of Canada. Everything you do is a balloon. Boards of Canada, not actually from Canada. So a little bit of a cheat there, but that's okay. Anyway, great news. Vancouverite, your favorite morning radio show here in town, is doing a live show. That's right. Not just a live recorded show like this one and every other one. I'm talking about like a live audience show. Yes, yes. In September, September 30th, we are going to be doing a wonderful show at the Woods Studio. It's going to be the interactive live podcast style event for Vancouverite. And I am going to be teaming up with the folks at Rape is Real and Everywhere, a comedy show by rape survivors. So all comedians doing rape jokes. How about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. They've done a sold out. Wow. IQ 136. I don't think so. A very successful national tour that they've just completed and will hopefully be launching their podcast. So that's basically what that that event will be tentatively. But right now it's, you know, they're going to have like a panel style Rape is Real and Everywhere show. So it'll be two great shows that night. And there's going to be a lot of details about that over the next few months. But I won't talk about it too much because it's still in the works and September is a ways away. I have had a great morning so far. I've had a great week and I've had a great month. And that's like a reverse the theme from Friends backwards. When it hasn't been your week, it has been my week. And not so much my year. Actually, really bad year. See, this is, it's times like this where I need to appreciate life. Because at the beginning of 2016, I was having a major bummeroony. It was not happening. Tough breakup, tensions with the, just all sorts of bad things. Stand-up career took a bit of a nosedive. It wasn't super great, but now it's going well. And there were times in early 2016 where I would think to myself, man, things are never going to get better. And now things are going pretty great. So you got to go, hey, this is, next time it gets crappy, remember that it gets good again. Unless it's like the end of the world or something. But maybe there's an afterlife. So yeah, I've been visiting my aunt because I moved to East Vancouver. And boy, we really do say Vancouver, huh? It's not Vancouver. It's Vancouver. And it's been very interesting because going back to that old folks home is tough. Now, it's tough because I was talking about my ex-girlfriend. My ex-girlfriend was a dancer. And we went and visited my aunt together when we were dating. And it was always a nice thing to do. My great aunt, actually, Helen. She's in her 90s now. And eventually, the old folks home asked us to do a special presentation for the residents there. Because they do like a yearly celebration where they all get together and they'll bring in a musical guest or some, you know, that they celebrate, they have some cake, it's a party, they need entertainment. So, seeing as my ex-girlfriend was a dancer, and I, of course, telling the jokes, they thought, hey, it'll be great, Alex will come in and tell a couple jokes, Carolyn will dance, it'll be great. I said, sure, let's do it. We'll, of course, we'd love to do that. And really, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, comedy is a delicate relationship between audience and performer. It's not one-sided. And you need participation and listening and relatability. And that doesn't sound... So I'll probably tell like one or two jokes. But this is mostly going to be about Carolyn dancing. She's a great contemporary dancer. Anybody can appreciate that. Especially elderly people. I mean, they don't get to see dance like that. So that's what it's going to really be about. So of course, we agree to that. The date kind of starts rolling around and getting closer. And of course, we go through the breakup and suddenly it's just me, and it's my aunt, and I try to get out of this, but I can't. They still want to do the event. They need me. They're begging me to come. So now it's gone from me bookending a big contemporary dance to me doing an hour of stand-up comedy at an old folks home. Now, any professional comic that you talk to will tell you that doing an hour is tough under ideal circumstances. Holding an audience, holding their attention for an hour is very difficult. Being able to have a rise and flow, a rise and flow, ebb and flow, rise and fall? What am I talking about? Anyway, it's very difficult. And I'm doing this for people that can barely hear me. So I recruit, I beg everyone I know, please come and do this with me. I need people to help me out. And no one wants to do it, of course. Even the magicians that I know are like, look, I mean, I've done magic shows for elderly people. Even that stuff, I can't even imagine how hard a comedy show is going to be. One person gave me advice. They said, oh, you won't hear any laughs, but if you see their oxygen masks fogging up, you know you're doing well. It just, people are making fun of me. I'm the laughingstock of the town. They go, wow, just, they're basically just waiting to hear how badly I bombed. But eventually I find two people to do it with me. Jordan Ducharme, comedian, the guy that runs the Benny's Bagels open mic. He was like, now what he hadn't told me was that at this point, because I didn't know him at this point, he'd just done comedy like for 3 months. So he's like, of course, because at that point you take any opportunity you can. So he says, yeah, sure, I'll do this. And I recruit, and this is probably the thing that saved me. I'd probably be dead now if I hadn't. Lisa Person, which is like, she has a little ukulele that she plays, and or no, it's a guitar. So I have a musical act, which is a lifesaver. But I still have to do like 30 minutes of comedy, and I got to tell you, I bombed horrifically. I mean, when I do a show, I'll usually kind of show up a little bit early, and I'll try to think of maybe something to riff on or something in the room to talk about, something current. I think it's nice to kind of improvise a joke at the beginning. It keeps you fresh. It shows the audience that you're really trying, you know, it's not just super rehearsed. So I'm going through their bookshelves, and I'm looking what kind of entertainment they have usually when we're not there, and I think I'm going to riff on it. And about 10 minutes into my act, about a minute into my act, after doing this riffing, doing a few of my jokes, it hits me. There's not going to be a laugh. There's no understanding of even what my punchlines are. It's silence. Half of these people can't hear me. The other half, it would be hard for them to make a sound. I mean, it's just horrible. One of them, it's her 99th birthday, and all I can think about is this might be the last thing she sees before she dies, is this horrible comic, and she'll go to heaven and tell God, and he'll be like, oh, I got to kill this guy off because he sucks so badly, and then I'll go to hell, and I'll be burning for my comedy sins, and the other comics are bombing too. I mean, don't get me wrong, Lisa and Jordan, but no one would have done well. It was just, oh God, was it uncomfortable. So anyway, at the end of it, I can see the nurses handing around the comment cards, like, fill this out, review our entertainment, how did you like it? And of course, they're all like, sucks, hate, 0 out of 10. So, and then they paid me. And the sad thing is to this day, it is the most I ever made for a comedy show. It paid so well. And so going back there is very tough. I kind of slink in the back and try not to make eye contact with anybody. But I like to visit my great aunt. And she told me the best story the other day. It was this beautiful tale. I wish I'd brought a tape recorder. I'm trying to say two things here. Don't perform for elderly people, but visit elderly people. Because she said the saddest thing the other day when I was like, oh, I got to go because I had something to do. And she said, you know, that's what people always say when they visit me. Wendy and Sue and your mother, everyone's got to go, got to go. Well, why don't you stay? So it was very sad, and I'm going to go visit her in a couple days. I'm sure they're on some sort of Canada Day picnic or something. But yeah, that was a tough gig, but things are looking up. So that was something hard. Let me end this program with telling you about a day I had recently that was probably one of the best days I've ever had. So when I'm not doing the radio show or following my dream of being a stand-up comedian, I work for The Vogue. I do security for The Vogue, and I like to do any sort of jobs that they do outside that The Vogue with that company. And they were doing this event at Swangard Stadium, and I thought, okay, I'll go do some security for this. This sounds great. I wake up late for work, and I'm screwed. I'm like, oh my god, I'm 10 minutes late. They're gonna axe me. I'm gonna get fired. So I'm hurrying. I finally get to this place, and I can't see anybody there. I don't know how to get in. So now I'm even later. I'm like 20 minutes late, and I call my manager, and I say, how do I get in? I'm here. I'm very sorry. He cuts me off. He goes, you shouldn't be apologizing. I need to apologize to you. We canceled the shift. It's not happening anymore. And we forgot to tell you. So here's what we're going to do. We're so sorry. We'll pay you for the day's work. And in my head, I'm like, okay, well, I was late. So now I'm not in trouble. And I'm getting paid for a day of work that I didn't have to do. Tick. So far, so good. That's how my day starts. Second part of this, I go home. And the night before, I had gone to White Spot. I had called upon White Spot to serve me some food, and I had the worst experience of my life with a burger. It was just awful. First world problems, but this was a real doozy. I mean, not enough lettuce, crummy tomato. It was a soggy. The bread was hard. It was things being too hard and too soft, not good in a meal. And when they both happen at once, your mouth just doesn't know what to do with it. So I was very disappointed in my White Spot experience. So after getting this day of work for nothing, I think, well, let's keep this winning streak going. I'm going to call and I'm going to complain about my burger. So I call White Spot, and I'm very kindly, because I'm not one to write a Yelp review, I call and I just tell him what happened. This guy goes, I'm going to mail you 2 White Spot gift cards so you can come in and enjoy 2 legendary meals, and I'm going to send you a handwritten apology. And I got both those in the mail. So now I'm smiling. I've got a bunch of free food at White Spot. A big apology. I feel great. Gavin, manager of the one in Kits, big shout out to you, bud. Great. Go support that White Spot. Tip heavily. Those guys are just saints. Top tier customer service. Because everyone screws up sometimes. But it's how you recover from it that really counts. That's why I should probably go back to the old folks home and try. No. But so that's my afternoon. Now I've got a morning of work, not work pay. I've got the White Spot. And then at night, there's a comedy competition in Vancouver called Vancouver's Top Amateur Comic. Big cash prize at the Emerald. Totally great. Go check it out. Go check out the rounds that are happening now. I didn't get in this year, and I was bummed. I really wanted to compete. But they did a one-time round robin winner take all at Goldie's for people that didn't get into the competition, and if you got first there, you got to skip all the rounds and compete in the finals. So I thought, okay, I'll go down. I mean, it's probably going to be packed, everyone's going to go, but I decided to go down. Turns out, because there's so many other things happening around town, only 5 people show up, so I only have to compete against 4 other people, and I got first. And so now I'm in the finals. I've got White Spot gift cards. I think I'm bragging a little bit here, but it's not even a humble brag. It's just a straight up brag. I had a great day. So it just goes to show I didn't get into that comedy competition, but it turned out to be a good thing. So good things do happen to annoying radio DJs sometimes. I love CITR, and in the last commercial break, I was just listening to that promo for one of our shows, Spice of Life. There's a Dune reference in there. Dune, Frank Herbert. What other radio program are you going to hear where you're going to be tuned in? Are you going to hear that on 94.5 between Kesha and Black Eyed Peas? I don't think so. A Spice reference? That is, those Dune books, by the way, are just, man, they're good. They're so good. I think Lord of the Rings, I mean, it's great. I love Lord of the Rings, but I don't think Dune gets the respect it deserves. I really check out Dune. It is not bad at all. Well, I've had an awesome time here. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. And there's big things coming in the future. Like I said, we've got a live show coming up that we're planning. We're going to have great guests. We've got Phil Hanley, one of my favorite comics, like a New York pro comic, is going to be, we're going to do a little interview with him soon. I've heard that I might be interviewing Animal Collective. It's just, we're going to have such a blast together, you and I, every Friday here, 10 a.m. on CITR. Unceded Musqueam territory. Tune in and hang out with me. And you know what? Reach out on Facebook. Add me as a friend. Alex Biron. How desperate is this? Yeah, get in there. And, I mean, be nice to each other on Canada Day. Get one of those little tattoos. And eat some maple syrup and, I don't know, have a blast. Cheerio!